3 and verse 8. I just want to show you some verses that clearly say that God desires to bless his people. In Psalms 3 and 8, it says, "Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people." Look in Psalms 24 and verse 5. These are just two examples early in the Psalms, and we could find many, many. In Psalms 24, 5, "He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation." Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And so he tells us that in Jesus Christ, we're blessed by the Heavenly Father, and we can really even now sit in heavenly places. But look over with me to Psalm 78, the 78th Psalm, and the 40th verse. "How oft did they provoke me in the wilderness?" And so there's a summarization of the children of Israel in the wilderness before that 40 years before they entered the promised land. "How oft did they provoke me in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel." From these passages, the first ones, it's very obvious that God wants to bless his people. And he does encourage us to pray for and to look for and expect blessings from him in our lives. But it's also very obvious that we can limit God. And this seems like it's one of those outstanding verses in a powerful way for the negative, in a sense. But how can God, the all-powerful God, who merely said, "Let there be light and there is light," who made the world out of nothing, how can the all-powerful God be limited? I think of the song that used to be sang, and we don't sing it much here, but "Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done." And we can all give testimony at different times how God has been faithful, how God has provided for food and shelter, how God is rich in mercy, and his mercy is as high as the heavens, as the Bible declares. And I think we could go on and on and on about how God is blessed. But I want to talk to you tonight about some things that can limit the blessings of God in our life. We can limit God. And here, this passage makes that very plain, that Israel turned back. They didn't do what God wanted them to do. They didn't go into the promised land. They took the advice of the leaven instead of the 10 instead of the 12, instead of the advice of Joshua and Caleb. And they tempted God, and they limited God. And so, what are some things that I need to watch lest the blessings of God upon my life might be limited? Look with me, first of all, in Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, and verse 5, you'll find that a covetous nature about us, wanting more and coveting what we have, is going to limit the blessings of God. He says in verse 5 of Colossians 3, "Mortify," that is, "kill, therefore, your members which are upon the earth." Kill fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake, not only idolatry, but these other things, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. The God's blessings is going to turn to God's wrath by the violation of these things, but particularly the last there, covetousness, which is idolatry. The blessings of God, you'll remember back in the book of Joshua, when Joshua had went over and they fought Jericho and won, but Achan took of that which was restricted. And the news went out, don't to take anything, don't take their gold or clothes and or their clothes or anything of Jericho. And Achan coveted the silver and the gold and the Babylonian garment. And immediately, the blessings of God were stopped. And they went forth to fight that little tiny town of Ai. And 36 men were killed. Joshua rends his clothes and falls upon his face before God, trying to determine why the blessings had come and had quit coming. And the bottom line was that covetousness stopped the blessings of God. In Malachi, where it speaks of tithing and robbing God, it says, well, a man robbed God, yet you've robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. And then he went on and said, ye are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. And so it stopped the blessings of God upon their life. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And it mentions covetousness, which is idolatry. Covetousness replaces God with an idol. Things become more important than our God. And the trust of you and me can be amassed in ourself instead of praying, give us this day our daily bread. And so, if you're just writing down notes, covetousness stops the blessing of God. Secondly, rebellion. And a rebellious spirit will limit the blessings of God. Well, you don't have to go very far into the Bible till you get over into the minor prophets. And there's a prophet there by the name of Jonah. God wanted to bless Jonah's life. And God wanted to bless a whole nation through Jonah's ministry. He wanted particularly to bless the capital of Syria, the city of Nineveh. And God said to Jonah, go to Tarsus. Go up to Nineveh. He was in Tarsus. Go to Nineveh. And Jonah said, no. And Jonah is going to suffer one of the most terrifying things that I think a man could ever experience and not forfeit his life. 3 days and three nights, he's held in the bottom of the ocean in a whale's belly. Whether he died and was revived or whether he was alive all that time, it can be debated. But for 72 hours, he was confined. Because of the rebellion, God removed his blessing. Because of the rebellion of King Saul, he was told to kill all the Amalekites and destroy all the animals. And he didn't destroy their animals, and he didn't destroy the king of the Amalekites. And he tells Samuel, when Samuel comes and says, you know, did you do what God said? And he said, yeah, I did what God said. And he said, well, what means all this bleeding of these animals, the sound of these animals? And he said, well, I kept all those for a sacrifice to God. And so he's trying to say, you know, the reason I didn't kill him is because I wanted to honor God. But listen, God told him to kill him, and he didn't honor God. And what Samuel said to him, he said back to him, for rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is an iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. It's a big deal to be rebellious to God's word. It's a big deal to know God's will and not follow God's will. God very often works through and blesses us through channels of authority. God wants to bless your children through who are parents. Older men and women, God wants to bless you through those that are over you in the ministry or in your work or different places. I'll never forget a number of occasions that different people wanted to go different ways and go back to the lower 48, some of them. At least two families that were very prominent in our church in the years past talked to me about going, and I told them I didn't think it was the best thing for them to do. Not that I was a dictator, but I just knew in their life at that time that they needed to grow some more, and they weren't really prepared to go to another place to stand on their own. And both of those families are divorced today. Well, God honors submission and humility and not rebellion. If I were to announce tonight that that there was going to be held in a hall over here in North Pole, a program where they were offering the reading of tarot cards and palm reading, and then tell you that the blessing of God was going to be on that meeting, I think you would say, Brother Humphrey, that's crazy. The blessing of God cannot be upon witchcraft. It can't be upon satanic things, whether it's Ouija boards or whether it's reading of tarot cards or palm reading. But the Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. God's not going to honor palm reading. God's not going to honor Ouija boards. God's not going to honor tarot cards. God's not going to honor that which is of the realm of satanic influence and witchcraft. Yet he makes it very plain that he will not bless and he will not honor when you and I are in rebellion, when we just say, I don't want to do it. And then I wonder when I've been in those stages and I've said, Lord, I'm not going to do it. There's no reason for us to scratch our heads and wonder why we find ourselves knee deep in trouble, because God is not going to bless us while we're in rebellion. And so covetousness stops the blessing of God. Rebellion stops the blessings of God. But also, worldliness stops the blessing of God. Look in 2 Timothy 4 and 2 and 10. 2 Timothy 4 and 10. Paul speaks of this man, Demas. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Christians to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Here was a young man by the name of Demas, who previously Paul has mentioned in a way that was very complimentary, who in coming into the influence of Paul and hearing his preaching, wanted to involve himself in the ministry. And his decision was, I'll leave everything and go with this man to serve God. And so he joined this team that Paul had. It seemed like Paul always had a group of men as a team. We don't know exactly what church he came from, but surely those that knew him and were members of that church rejoiced over his surrender to go and be involved in the ministry. He started out in a very great way. At Paul's side in prison, he was named among Paul's fellow laborers. But in the end, somehow the world had won his heart, and he loved this present world, and he departed from the work. There are many professing Christians, and really many of them are truly saved, who start out with great intentions and good words, but turn to loving the world. The Bible says in 1 John, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And so Demas' love was not the house of God and the people of God, but he began to love the houses of the world and the people of the world. And it does matter today, as it always has mattered, even in the day of Demas, it does matter who you hang out with. It does matter who you're named among. It does matter who you're identified with. It does matter who your friends are in your social life. And are they friends that point you toward God, or are they friends that point you toward worldly things? God wants to use you and I not only to bless us, but to be a blessing. And you really find that you're really going to find as you get involved in serving the Lord that the blessing really comes in the giving. That it's more blessed to give than receive. God wants to bless our lives, but He wants us to be in a place where He can channel His blessings through us. Channels only, we sing that song. But God wants to use us as a channel to bless others. And in blessing others, we will be blessed. But worldliness can destroy that. When I first came to Plack Road, there was a young man that surrendered to preach. Even did a little bit of preaching, but he loved the world and died as a very young man, about in his early 30s. Covetousness, I could rehearse all that history for you, but it's too sad to rehearse. Just let me say to you that God won't bless you with one foot in the world. Then look at James chapter 4 and verse 2. Caleb, can you turn the fan on? We don't have any trouble with the heater working now. James 4 and verse 2. You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. I was listening to a message this morning on my way to work, but I forget exact words this man used, but how much we pray really shows whether we are relying upon God or if we're relying upon our own arm of the flesh. James says, you have not, and you kill, and you desire to have, and cannot obtain. You fight and war, and you have not because you ask not. Luke says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, him that seeketh findeth, to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he be a fish for give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? The songwriter said, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And so prayerlessness stops the blessing of God. God simply says, ask me. And you have not because you ask not. And then in Matthew 11, I feel like I'm kind of dragging here tonight and dragging you down. But it's just these are important truths. They may not be presented very well, but in Mark 11, and 25. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you had aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. We've talked about this before, how that God doesn't expect me to forgive a person on a horizontal plane. If this person never over here, it's done wrong and he never does confess the wrong and he doesn't repent, then I can't forgive him in this way. But God is saying that before me here in heaven, here's this guy over here who wouldn't repent, and here's over here you. If you just allow yourself to be bitter with this, that's going to destroy. And God says, I have a forgiving spirit. And God's saying, here I am, I want you before me to forgive him, to not hold a grudge, to not hold revenge, to not rejoice in their calamity, to not let what he's done to you consume you. And he says here, if we don't have a forgiving spirit, then God's not going to forgive us, and surely the blessings of God can't be upon our lives. And so sometimes, no matter how difficult it was and no matter how hard the blow was to your life, we need to get before the Lord and say, Lord, I forgive them, and help me to forgive them. Help me to move on. Help me not to keep this between you and I. And forgive. If we do not forgive, God's going to hold back his blessings. And he asks us to forgive. And then six, if you look over in Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 8. Isaiah 42:8 says, I am the Lord, that is Jehovah, that is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. You remember King Herod in the Bible was trying to be impressed by the people. And they said that he got up and gave a speech, and the people said, he speaks like a god. And the Bible says, and immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. If you sang a great song and people were moved by that, and you've left the pulpit area and said, boy, I really sung great today, you just missed the blessing. If you take credit for those abilities that God has given you and don't recognize God, that by him we move and have our being, then we've missed a blessing. King Nebuchadnezzar said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by my might of my power, by the might of my power, for the honor of my majesty? Is not this great Babylon? And I've built it with my power, and I've built it in honor of my great majesty. And God, in two verses later, says, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. And seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And the same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair was grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird claws. What was going on? Well, people thought he's crazy. They drove him away from his presence. He's out there in the field. Whether he lived out there, I don't know if the dew thing implies that he lived out there, but he was picking up grass and eating it. He was a wild man. He was someone that everybody stayed away from. They didn't want to be around him. He'd lost all of his majesty because he became proud. And so, as we look at our own lives, and many times here, jokingly, I will accuse you of not being on blessing ground because I say, does anyone have anything to share? And you guys all sit out there like a calf looking at a new gate trying to figure out what you're supposed to do. But sometimes we aren't blessed of the Lord because there's a covetous spirit about us. God withholds his blessing because there's rebellion in our lives. God's not going to bless us if we're worldly. We have not because we ask not. Prayer is necessary. We need to ask and seek and knock. There could be times in our lives when difficulties and it seems like that heaven is as brass and our prayers bounce back instead of go to the presence of God because we have an unforgiving spirit. And some people carry that unforgiving spirit for years and years and years and miss out on the blessings of God. The peace which passeth understanding. And then self-glorying. If you think you're big and you think you got the world by the tail on a downhill pole and you're going to show the world what you're made out of, God will show you exactly what you're made out of. You're made out of clay. And it's weak. To God be the glory. Okay? Anything to share tonight? I won't ask you if you have any blessings to share tonight, but any prayer requests? Jordan?